This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1990. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, first and foremost, shortwave. On this edition, 1990, recorded July 11th, Australia, Bougainville, China, Congo, Costa Rica, Cuba, Indonesia, Korea South and North, Kuwait, Myanmar, Nigeria, Papua New Guinea, Russia, Turkey, UK, USA. Publications, long and short-term propagation outlooks. Standard disclaimer. Arthur Delibere in Maryland notified the Hardcore DX list. If anyone is awake at this hour, Radio 4KZ in Australia is putting a readable signal right now into Maryland. Mercifully, very few lightning crashes. That was July 10th at 1000 UT. Via Mike Cooper and Artie Bigley, a Sydney Morning Herald story of July 8th is headlined, "It Should Be Us." ABC pushes government to reconsider $17 million grant to commercial television. The ABC has complained to the Morrison government about a plan to give $17 million to commercial TV networks to bring Australian shows to the Pacific Islands. The public broadcaster arguing it should receive the funding instead. Prime Minister Morrison announced a three-year multi-mega-dollar funding initiative with Free TV Australia in January. Negotiations between the government and the commercial TV group are underway. Free TV members include Nine Entertainment Company, Network 10, and Seven West Media. A media source said the government approached the industry group about the funding, and that was not sought out by the commercial broadcasters. Ron Howard upon Isidomar State Beach, California, keeps a close ear on 3325 kHz, where unfortunately we have two stations, NBC Bougainville, Papua New Guinea, and Radio Republic Indonesia, or Voice of Indonesia. Here's his latest report, first dated July 8th. NBC Bougainville, Maus Blong Sun Come Up, or Voice of the Sunrise. I last reported hearing this back on April 28th, unheard since then until July 7th. Tune in at 11:10 to hear Voice of Indonesia in Chinese with NBC underneath. Sunday, religious music and singing, and in pidgin as normally heard in the past, mixing with VOI, which was stronger the whole time. And NBC cut off at 1200 UT. Unfortunately, NBC reactivated on a day when VOI had a decent audio level, unlike most days when it has no audio at all, but it was great to hear Bougainville again. Then he reports on July 8th, tuned in at 1040 to hear Bougainville on 3325, mostly announcers. Drum music intro, news at 11:01, 2 weeks to be sure of language, and then some pop songs. The reception, or rather the closing time, does vary a lot. This time it was at 11:41 UT. VOI reception was extremely weak underneath NBC on that date. July 9th, Bougainville heard at 10:51 to 11:28, mostly a monologue in pidgin, some Pacific Islands singing at 11:01, the drum intro and into news, but there was heavy static and no interference from Indonesia at all. July 10th, also heard Bougainville, 3325 from 1048 to 1207, best reception since their reactivation on July 7th with many pop songs. Ron Howard also reports on China, Voice of Strait, 4940, Saturday, July 6th, coming on at 0940 UT. The weekend-only edition of Focus on China, their program in English, suddenly came on with the program in progress, as they usually do. A very different format, however, he says, than noted earlier in the year. Back then, there was always an audio feed from CCTV with documentaries about Chinese history. But today, a native speaker of English was chatting about her impressions of China, ending with, in a nutshell, "How would you describe China?" At 0953, it identified as Focus on China and a pop song until 9:55 and into Chinese programming. They're scheduled to start 4940 at 0930, but on the weekend, I've never heard them start at that time, Ron says, instead around 0940, with part of the 25-minute program already in progress. And at 9:55, it became parallel to their nearby other frequency, 4900, with the 5-minute straight fishery meteorology report, or channel fishery weather. One more from Ron Howard, this about Congo on 6115, July 7th, a very early broadcast for them. At 05:06, they were already on, but on July 5th, they sign on around the normal time of 05:35. Announcers in French, a special treat, he says, to hear a segment of pop African music and singing from 5:18 to 5:28. As during my normal reception there, after 5:35, there is never any music. At this time, there was no interference from Japan on the same frequency. Bruce Earl in Texas, who was involved in the high-power Costa Rican medium-wave station 43 years ago, says he's looking for a QSL card that was issued for one of those broadcasts in March 1976, a test transmission on 625 kHz from Radio Millon, TIRICA in Costa Rica. He says we ran an announcement in English, Spanish, and Portuguese about testing on AM and a shortwave frequency, however, which did not make it on the air. If anyone can help supply him at least a copy of such a QSL card, I'll pass that info on to him. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. What will be our example this week? How about knocking itself way off frequency from 15370, measured on 15369.22, July 5th at 2145 in Spanish. Filed under Indonesia, possibly, but really unidentified, is this item from Wolfgang Büschel in Germany. Measured 3 hertz above 6708, he says an ID Indonesian language music program, South Sea Sounds, S8 to 9, July 5th at 1203 UT. It was heard via Eastern Thailand remote receiver. Of course, we always wonder if something like that could be an harmonic, but not unless there's something else equally unidentified on 3354. As mentioned last week, KBS World Radio South Korea said it would be restoring full power to its so-called North American service on 15575, English at 13 and Korean at 14 UT, starting July 8th. Well, I made a point of checking the day before and the day of July 8th and found there was still nothing but a just barely audible carrier, even with some Doppler flutter. So propagation was subnormal, making reception even worse than usual on the higher frequencies, but that did not keep their friends in the north from coming in much better on 11710, also in English, at 1345. Far be it from me to say this, but Ivo Ivanov, observer Bulgaria, is now saying something's always wrong at Radio Kuwait, because he frequently finds them offset about 0.2 kilohertz below their scheduled frequency, even if they're broadcasting the correct language at the correct time, which is not always the case. Such as he heard them in Persian on July 5th at 0800 on 15529.8 instead of Filipino. They were instead running Filipino in DRM at the same time on 11969.8. 7249.8 was not on the air. That's scheduled in Farsi. And from 0830, it did come on the air. Then on July 9th, he observed that Radio Kuwait's general service in Arabic was in DRM instead of English in AM between 05 and 08 UT on 15529.8, while 11969.8 during the same 3 hours was in English DRM as scheduled. At 0945 to 1325, the Arabic General Service in DRM was on 15109.8. I continued to check out the so-called North American service in Arabic from Radio Kuwait on 17550, a quadri hour, scheduled at 20 to midnight UT, actually aimed towards Central and Western North America, which is a difficult path. It was a JBA carrier, July 5th at 2144. Nevertheless, qualifying as both the strongest and the only station on the 16-meter band. That was just about on frequency, but on July 6th, it was off 17549.97, just barely audible, but I could make out some Arabic speech. Once again, it was the strongest and only signal on the band. That was later at 2225 UT, which is, of course, way after midnight, originating in Kuwait. Pays to keep trying every day. Ron Howard in California reports on Tazin Radio in Myanmar on 7345. Normally the frequency is totally covered by a strong CNR1 from China, but that was off the air for 2 consecutive days. On July 7th from 1242, he heard a call-in show and pop songs in vernacular from Myanmar, a weak signal but now in the clear, but CNR1 would return, destroying Tazin's reception. He had been hearing it as well on July 6th. But on July 8th, tune in at 11:58, CNR1 was back on after being off the air for only 2 days. Too often we're so caught up in technical details like wrong or new frequencies that we don't pay enough attention to programming content, such as we reported last week, Nigeria showing up on a new or really reactivated channel 11769.9. I was hearing a just barely audible carrier there, July 9th at 20:41, which must have been then, probably on the air until about 2100. But Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, I was home on the 4th of July. No, we celebrated 3 days earlier, so I decided to record Voice of Nigeria on nominal 11770 to catch the sign-on and sign-off in program content. It signed on at 1640 UT. English audio started a few seconds later with the program Africa Today in progress. Fair to poor reception at first, but later on, at times, reception quality was fairly good. Pretty well all talk programs such as Beyond Bullets, Roadmap to Peace. It was mentioned, for that program in particular, that it is also carried on Armed Forces Radio, 107.7 FM in Abuja, along with another station whose identity I did not catch. Lots of public service announcements about Nigeria and Voice of Nigeria between program segments, with a mention of the VON website, which is www.von.gov.ng, and the availability of the VON app. When the signal quality was good, the announcers were mostly understandable, with the accents not too heavy. Some of the IDs were hard to make out at times, but in one case the frequency of 15120 was mentioned. At 18 UT, the ID given was specifically for the English service of the Voice of Nigeria. It's at 1800, however, that CRI starts up on 11775 for its two-hour German service to Europe. There was only slight interference from this transmission. Just before 19 UT, the English-speaking announcer said goodbye and mentioned that the Hausa-based service was coming up next. However, this turned out to be the Fulfulde or Fula service. The ID in Fulfulde is Radio Congo Nigeria. It sounded like Radio Congo to me, so I had to look it up. This word was spelled K-O-N-N-G-O-L. At 20 UT, the Hausa service began, which has the ID Muriar Nigeria. Both the Fulfulde and Hausa services were preceded by the drumming interval signal. The transmitter went off at 20:58, a few seconds after the conclusion of the Hausa service. The International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 1990, a non-commercial service accompanied by our non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and non-commercial publication, DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from John Carson of Oklahoma, but currently in Eagle Nest, New Mexico, who says it's always the best program on radio, broadcasting, and especially the dynamic medium of shortwave. He sent his contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Ron Howard also reports on the other Papua New Guinea station, 3260 NBC, Madang, Mas Blongaramut. On July 10th, a very unique broadcast running much longer than normal, 1227 to 1232 in English, with the Radio New Zealand program with Dominic Godfrey, then at 1232 to 37 instrumental music, and 1237 until off at 1251 a relaying 90.7 FM. Several clear announcements for the press club's guest speaker being at the Namana Hotel in Port Moresby on July 12th to give updated info about the Bougainville referendum for independence, which, by the way, is why we file Bougainville under B, which will be broadcast live via NBC Radio. He refers to the press club's flyer and provides a fairly clear audio clip he made. He says the press club's event is on July 12th. Scheduled to start at 1000 UT, so perhaps we will be able to hear that via shortwave 3260 and 3325. We rarely quote BBC monitoring anymore, but their info is still available if you look for it. Mike Cooper forwards this item as of July 5th, in turn attributed to a privately owned Russian military news agency, Interfax AVN, on 2 July. A separate electronic warfare battalion has been formed and has become part of a Western Military District Combined Arms Army. It's the first in the Russian Armed Forces to be equipped with the Palantin system. The subunits of the new unit are quartered in Voronezh region, a Western Military District spokesman stated. The separate EW battalion is designed to coordinate with the Army Headquarters Military Command and Control Agencies to create effective electronic defense and countermeasures to tactical reconnaissance systems. The Palantin EW system, which recently began to arrive in the Russian Army, is capable of blinding the enemy in the shortwave and ultra-shortwave bands and also deprives him of cellular communications. July 8th at 0119, I found a strong 25 over 9 signal on 7260 with Middle East music, but it's the Spanish hour from Voice of Turkey, parallel to 9870. What in the world are they doing broadcasting to our hemisphere amid the exclusive amateur band? The following from John Filiozzi. At my two locations in New York and Florida, the summer shortwave schedule season has yielded better reception at Eastern North America locations from the BBC World Service and VOA English, although quite time limited. BBC World Service is being heard daily at near armchair level via the Wolverton, UK transmitter site between midnight and 1 UT on 7300, which I have also noticed in Oklahoma. He says programming targeted to South Asia consists of a daily edition of the excellent Business Matters on Tuesdays through Saturdays UT, and The World This Week and Global Business, or In the Balance, on Sundays, and Business Matters followed by Science in Action on Mondays. The only potential fly in the ointment here is occasional interference from WHRI on 7315. Normally, this separation should be sufficient to avoid interference, but proper maintenance of this South Carolina transmitter appears to be an issue at times. And also, VOA English to Africa is being heard daily, again at armchair level between 17 and 1830 UT on 17530 via Greenville, North Carolina. Sundays and Saturdays bring Issues in the News, Press Conference USA, and Nightline Africa. Monday through Friday, there's International Edition at 1700, Africa World Tonight at 18. In between at 1730, a feature program. Monday, Let's Talk. Tuesday, Health Chat. Wednesday, Up Front. Thursday, Reporters Roundtable. And Friday, Sunny Side of Sports. That's S-O-N-N-Y. In Oklahoma, I often have good reception of this as well on 17530, especially with a little sporadic E to help. But I should point out, normally there is a skip ring around Greenville where you will not be getting a very good signal, but you need to be a little further away, such as Florida or Oklahoma. Via David Cole and Hans-Jörg Biener, a press release from RFERL, July 11th. RFERL appoints Jamie Fly as new president. That's J-A-M-I-E-F-L-Y, effective August 1st, according to the board of directors, to be the company's president and CEO. They say Mr. Fly is a recognized foreign policy thought leader and proven manager, currently serving as senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the U.S., in addition, director of the organization's Future of Geopolitics and Asia programs, and co-director of its Transatlantic Alliance for Securing Democracy. Fly has previously worked as a senior staffer in the U.S. Congress, the National Security Council, and the U.S. Department of Defense. The board also announces that Vice President Daisy Sindelar, who has served as RFERL acting president since December 2018, will transition to the editor-in-chief position, also effective August 1st, replacing the current editor-in-chief, Nenad Pejic. That may be the good news worthy of a press release, but here is something on the other side, via Mike Cooper and David Cole, a New York Times story of July 8th by Elizabeth Williamson, headlined, New Scandals Rock Government's Foreign Broadcasting Service. The U.S. Agency for Global Media, already struggling to clean house after a series of scandals last year at flagship operations like VOA and TV Marti, is now being rocked by two new cases that have raised further questions about its journalistic and financial management. In one, Tomas Regalado Jr., a reporter for TV Marti, broadcasting into Cuba, and a cameraman for the network, Rodolfo Hernandez, were suspended amid allegations they faked a mortar attack on Mr. Regalado during a broadcast from Managua, Nicaragua, last year. The incident surfaced only days after Harun Ulla, the former chief strategy officer at the global media agency, operating Marti and foreign language networks, pleaded guilty on June 27th in federal court in Alexandria to stealing government property. A former deputy to the agency's chief executive, John Lansing, Mr. Ulla admitted to fleecing the government of $37 kilodollars between February and October last year by claiming reimbursements for expensive hotels he did not book, double billing the government for official travel and forging a doctor's note to allow him to fly business class. He faces up to 10 years in prison. The new problems are unrelated to each other. In the case of Mr. Ula, the agency said its internal controls flagged the expense fraud. But along with many others, over the past 2 years, the scandals have brought intensified scrutiny and criticism to the agency. Mr. Regalado is the son of Tomas Regalado Sr., the director of the Office of Cuba Broadcasting. During 2 or 3 weeks of testing, many WBCQ programs, even World of Radio, were heard on the superpower transmitter 9330. But it's still unclear whether any of these programs will now be allowed to be heard on that transmitter since, on July 9th, World's Last Chance took over. They're paying for the whole thing, of course, so they're entitled, apparently, to 24/7 use. They were going to start on July 8th. I monitored almost all day on that frequency and didn't hear anything until it suddenly came on at 23:22 UT with music for the rest of the hour. But promptly at midnight UT July 9th, World's Last Chance started up in English. They have been broadcasting only in English and Arabic. The English broadcasts, beamed to various westerly directions, are extremely strong out here, while the Arabic broadcasts, beamed in easterly directions, are extremely weak, or at least nowhere near as strong, indicating the rotatable antenna is doing its job in aiming most of its power in the proper direction and not off the back or off the sides. Even when it was in English, it would tend to fade down or out by 06 UT. Superpower cannot overcome propagation. There were many reports of it from all over the world. The first couple of days, the time for switching to Arabic was 08 UT and was supposed to last until 23. However, we found Arabic lasting 1 hour longer until midnight UT. But after 08 UT on July 11th, no signal was to be heard on 9330. By the way, unlike other antenna switching, we thought perhaps the rotatable antenna could stay on the air as it was turning around, but there have been breaks of roughly 2 minutes, a few minutes before the top of the hour, when they have been changing beam directions. Although dated effective May 24th, not appearing in HFCC until about July 11th was a revised schedule for WBCQ number 6, still only in English and Arabic, but at different hours and on different beams and some different frequencies besides 9330. The two higher frequencies we have not yet confirmed, but here's what that schedule says. In Arabic, 07 to 10 on 15180 and 10 to 12 on 11705, both beamed at 75 degrees. Then it's English from 12 to 18 on 9330. The first 4 hours at 255 degrees, and then at 16 switching to 300 degrees. And more English at 18 to 20 at 57 degrees. Finally, from 2000 until 07, this schedule says in Arabic again at 75 degrees. Meanwhile, Kai Ludwig has found some interesting background about World's Last Chance and its founder, Galal Dos. You might find it too if you search on his name. It's spelled G-A-L-A-L-D-O-S-S. Apparently there's been some controversy in Egypt about the Orthodox versus the Seventh-day Adventists. And by the way, it seems that Dos is a mere 3 years younger than Brother Stair. WEWN continues to have problems. It's 9470 frequency in English until 14 UT. For the Far East, instead has heavy interference even over here in Chinese. I bet no one is hearing it in the region of China. Also, the 12050 Spanish transmitter, July 11th at 13:30, I heard cutting off the air at a steady rate of one time per second, but half an hour later it stopped doing that. As of July 9th, almost every night when checked, I've been hearing the 50-kilowatt day timer on 1210 in the middle of the night, around 0600 UT, and also earlier in the evening. It's WJNL in Kingsley, Michigan, the Traverse City Market. Strangely enough, I don't see reports of this from any other DXers who don't seem to be interested in this cheater. It may not really be running the day power of 50 kilowatts. It could be the CH or critical hours power of only 2.5. I first heard them doing this on June 24th. Oh, one DXer in Michigan, not too far away, did check this out, Don Hosmer. He was hearing it at night, but not with a very strong signal, so maybe it wasn't really 50 kilowatts. Over the years, I've been interviewed by a number of other radio stations, and now there's a new one to add to the archive at our current audio via worldofradio.com. Charlie Van Sant, an alumnus of WLW, has interviewed me for his show Monitor on Cincinnati Radio Reading Service. And by the way, on my website, worldofradio.com, you will find handy links to many versions of A19 shortwave schedules. Universal Radio has sent me their 2019 catalog of 120 pages with an updated insert for June. It's really incredible how much radio equipment they have for sale. If you need anything for shortwave or amateur radio, chances are they have it. It's nice to have their printed catalog, but they also have a website, of course. Perhaps you can request a copy that way. It's www.universal-radio.com or email dx@universal-radio.com. Their postal address they have moved is Universal Radio, 651B Lakeview Plaza Boulevard, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now to propagation. The following may seem far-fetched, but an ARRL article has emerged via Mike Terry and John Wesley Smith about the effect of the California earthquake on HF propagation. It says it disrupted propagation on the West Coast. Rather than correlating a propagation problem with what's happening on the sun, he correlates it with the earthquake. That is he, being Alex Schwartz, VE7DXW. So you can read more about it, I'm sure, at the ARRL website. Another ARRL story via Mike Terry. A Nature article suggests a grand solar minimum lies ahead. Oscillations of the baseline of solar magnetic field and solar irradiance on a millennial timescale suggests that a grand solar minimum, similar to the legendary Maunder minimum, is approaching, starting as early as next year and lasting for 3 solar cycles. That could be bad news for HF enthusiasts who are already struggling with marginal conditions. As propagation buff and contester Frank Donovan, W3LPL, observed, it's very uncertain if this forecast is correct. But as usual, the forecasts of the next solar cycle are all over the map. Let's hope these scientists are wrong. The short-term propagation outlook from Boulder, issued July 8th. Geomagnetic field activity expected to range from quiet to active, with active levels expected on July 9th to 11th, which I believe has been the case. Unsettled likely July 28th. Else when quiet levels under a nominal solar wind regime. That is, ANK indices almost all, only 5 and 2 through August 3rd, occasionally 8 and 3. And solar flux stuck as low as it can go, 67, through the entire period. And that's the 1,990th edition of World of Radio. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week for another edition, starting and ending with a standard disclaimer.